We're back. This is the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and you can call us by calling 410-WCBM-680 or 1-800-WCBM-680. The local number is for the Baltimore dialing area. The 800 number is for the rest of the state. If you'd like to give us a call and talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, we'd love to have your call. It's just me today, no guests that I know of coming in, so we're just here talking to you all about whatever you want to talk about. Do want to mention to our trapping buddies that the Maryland Department of Natural Resources has added a one-week extension to the muskrat trapping season in all counties except Allegheny, Carroll, Frederick, Garrett, Howard, and Washington. So from, west of here, everything's closed, but everything east of here, March 22nd is now the closing day, and that will make up for unfavorable trapping conditions because of the weather. Recent cold weather and ice cover has limited trapper access to many wetlands and waterways and the ability to harvest this valuable fur bear. So state law grants DNR the authority to extend the muskrat trapping season for up to 7 days. In the event that weather has severely impacted trapping opportunity, DNR did not extend the muskrat trapping season in the aforementioned counties since their season started earlier, which allowed for ample trapping opportunity prior to the waterway freezing over. So no other hunting or trapping seasons have been extended. And last week I did attend, well, prior to its opening, the National Outdoor Show 69th anniversary celebration in South Dorchester County, home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championships. And we do not have a list of winners, but the muskrat season has been extended.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land and a shimmy. Sam is so skinny.
Then sadly on the way back home as they swim through their little tunnel and their little race through the weeds, some trappers said a couple of coney bears, and Susie and Sam have become pelts and a couple of nice meals for folks on the lower shore. So there you go. Two anglers won $100 each in the Bass Pro Shop gift cards for providing fishing trip information to the Maryland Volunteer Angler Survey study last year. Maryland Volunteer Angler Survey last year. Taking home the prizes were Alicia Duquin of Hagerstown for reporting her observations to the multi-species freshwater portion, and Matt Stahl of Essex for supplying yellow perch information from his outing. Maryland Department of Natural Resources relies on such anglers to provide data to help fishery monitoring and management efforts. The Angler Survey is an important resource for fishery science and management, said DNR Recreational Fishing Data Coordinator Dr. Linda Barker. Linda's been a guest on this show. And she is the record keeper extraordinaire for the data coordinator extraordinaire for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. For some species, this is our only source of information on released fish, an important part of analyzing fish populations and anglers' trends. This year's winners were randomly selected from anglers who together submitted more than 800 reports. The contest is ongoing, so anyone who participates this year is automatically entered in the 2014 drawing. To enter, an angler must simply log on to the survey and fill in their trip information with location, date, hours, number of anglers, method of fishing, and how many fish were kept or released and or released. The more submissions, the better the odds. With March being the prime time for yellow perch fishing, we're calling on anglers to add observations on this species to the survey, said Dr. Linda Barker. We also want to remind participants that reporting an outing with no caught fish is just as important for our studies as sharing days when the fishing was more successful. DNR revamped the Maryland Online Volunteer Angler Survey last year with a new look, more user-friendly submission process, adding fish species and prize incentives. The survey seeks fishing trip information involving striped bass, summer flounder, yellow perch, bluefish, smallmouth bass, largemouth bass, muskellunge, blue crabs, catfish, crappie, bluegill, pickerel, and northern snakehead. The survey is located at dnr.state.md.us/fisheries/survey/index.asp. Very simply, just go to the fisheries page on the DNR website and look for angler survey. So there you go. Let's talk to Peter in Preston. You got a yellow perch survey there for me, Pete?
Not yet. I start around March 17th.
Yep, that would be
when the water gets close to 40 to 48.
No, wait, that would be St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, sir.
Are you Irish?
Get out there and start yellow perching.
Are you Irish?
Half Irish.
Half Irish. All right. So do you drink the green beer or eat the corned beef and cabbage and do all that stuff?
Oh yes, sir. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, the other half is German, so I get mad at myself and don't know why.
All right. Well, Pete, we featured you a little bit in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, and the folks can go online and check that out or look in the hard copy on page 57. That's a heck of a buck there you killed in Caroline County.
Yes, sir. I just got it scored last weekend. I went to Mr. Walter Tinker Johnson. He was at the Bass Pro there in Arundel Mall.
Yeah.
He said a couple things. When I put it on a stand, he looked at it, and he goes, this is going to be difficult. Well, you know, I tried to rough score it myself, and I couldn't. But he did teach me which one was the main beam.
Right.
But he said that, and...
which one was the main beam? I'm looking at the picture. Which one was the main beam?
The closest one to you.
Okay. That's what I thought. It looked like it came out there, and everything else branched off of that to the back, so...
Well, on the same side there,
yeah,
there was three judges there. They had to confer which one was the G4 on that same side, and all of them came up with the same conclusion. So,
gotcha.
It was a little difficult, I guess.
Well, you got that branched antler over there. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 of them sticking up right there in a cluster like fingers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he said something else that made me feel good too. In the middle of his judging, he was doing the circumferences of the bases, and when he was going up one antler, doing different spots of circumference,
yep.
and he goes, this is a first, and I was just paying attention, and he goes, it's getting bigger as it's going up.
Really?
So he was really impressed with the deer, and I was impressed with the whole thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was enjoyable to watch.
So what did he score?
173.
173, that's a net, right?
Yes, that's net. It grossed at 182.68.
182 and 6/8 and netted 183. And no eights. It's even, right? That is,
yes,
Pete, that's a tremendous buck. I mean, you know that. You've not killed one like that.
No.
Ever.
He did say that he has a list of the records for every weapon, and he said it's pending, depending on all the judging this year, that it's pending right now, fourth all-time crossbow kill in Maryland.
That is terrific, man. That is great.
So I it was enjoyable.
Well, you know what? You just had a good time while you're out there in the woods, and this great big giant buck that you've never killed one that big before showed up, and you got him, and you know what? There you go.
Yeah, he's on the wall now.
I see him, yep.
And we're still having staring contest.
You haven't won one yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Those glass eyes, they don't blink very often. So.
No, sir.
All right. Right. So you're going to call me back here after, I don't know if it'll necessarily be the day after St. Patrick's Day, because I don't know. You're going to be in good shape that next day? I'm not sure. But you...
Well, I'm gonna give her a good try.
All right.
But I will call you back and let you know how the yellow perch are running.
I appreciate that, man. Sounds
All
good.
Right, you have a good day, sir.
You too, buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye. There he goes. He's a good guy. Pete Marth has a good masonry business down there in Talbot County, lives in Caroline County. Marth Masonry. So, Peter, let's see. I did get something here. We talked a little bit earlier about with Paul Piavis when we were talking about yellow perch. We were talking about Williston. And I got a little email here. State Highway Administration's working right now on an old dam breast on a tributary to the Upper Choptank, a spot called Williston. This was a very popular fishing access site until it was shut down by the State Highway Administration about 10 years ago. I'm sure that the project was set up before the access legislation was passed last year. However, this is a perfect opportunity to regain some lost access. And a request was made to make some contacts to inquire or tell a member of the fishery staff how to go about contacting State Highway Administration and having them try to reopen that Williston dam breast to public fishing access. So that was good news to see that, as you know, we had talked about that, and so the department has taken some positive steps and talked to, I guess, people in the State Highway Administration about that. So that's good. That's a good thing. You might get Williston opened up here again since it's been closed for a decade. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Just don't have me just sit here and talk. I want to talk with you about whatever you want to talk about. And that phone number again, 922-6680. What do you think about this survey that people don't know that fishing license money and hunting license money is only allocated for fishing and hunting management? And the Pittman Robertson and Wallop Bro, or you know, game fish or and wildlife management acts, restoration acts, are only available for those programs and can't be touched by the General Assembly. There have been some problems in the past. I will admit that. Don't come back and say, well, 10 years ago, I know some of that did happen, but some fingers got slapped and some people got punished. So, you know, it's just, but it's interesting that people don't know where their money goes, you know, goes to pay for management, the things we talk about here, and it goes to pay for, you know, things like access and habitat and purchasing land and that type of thing. All right. Here is a Minnesota angler. Rob Scott is his name. He's 65 years old. He caught a 52-pound, 3-ounce lake trout through the ice. It was an hour-long fight, took place above and below the ice of Lake La Croix on February 8th. Following the epic battle, Mr. Scott took his giant lake trout to a taxidermist in Duluth. I'm wearing a pair of Duluth trading pants right now. And shoes. They're war shoes. I like their stuff. Duluth Trading, yeah. Duluth, Minnesota. To be weighed, measured, and stuffed. News of the monster fish got out, and Scott's story made headlines in the Star Tribune. This caught the attention of the Ohio Ministry of Natural Resources in Atkocan, Ontario, who recalled checking Scott's fishing license on the Canadian side of Lac La Croix on the day of his catch. When the officers checked on Scott, he just caught a 4-pound trout. Anything like that, 4-pound. Officers investigated the matter, and when confronted, Scott admitted that he caught his potential record-breaker fish after the officers had left him. So what's wrong with that? Had a 4-pounder, catches a new potential world record, 52-pound, 3-ounce lake trout. Did you ever catch a lake trout? They're a lot of fun, and they're good eating. I've caught them up in Lake Ontario. So anyway, Scott admitted that he caught his potential record-breaker fish after the officers had left him. He stated that he was so high on adrenaline that he wasn't thinking straight when he gave the smaller fish to another angler and hauled his prize catch about 100 feet back across the border and into the U.S. by a snowmobile. 30 yards, 35 yards. What's the big deal? Well, this admitted action violated Ontario law, as the legal limit for anglers is one fish. On the U.S. side, 35 yards away, 100 feet away, is two fish. Now think about this. You're in a foreign country, Canada, but you're only 100 feet from the U.S., so you can do like Taco Bell and run for the border if you want. But he caught a four-pound fish, and Ontario, you know, officer checked him, and he had a four-pounder. The officers go away. Then he catches a 52-pound fish. I mean, what do you do? Well, he obviously knew what the limit was, or he wouldn't have given away the four-pounder, would he? So he quickly loaded his, well, I don't know how quickly you can load a 52-pound lake trout. I don't know if he dragged it out like a deer or if he threw it on the back of the snowmobile or if he made it, you know, held it in front and made it hold onto the handlebars or just what. But he chucked that fish back across the border real quick. Scott said, had he released his big catch as required by law, the fish would have surely died after the hour-long battle. Still, Scott now admits his error. Now is in parentheses. I called the Ontario officers Tuesday morning, and I told them I owed them an apology. It wasn't illegal for me to keep fishing after I caught the first trout. But when I caught the bigger fish with the adrenaline and everything I had going and the fact that it wasn't going to survive if I released it, I figured if I gave the smaller fish away, that would be okay. And that's what he told the Star Tribune. No, it wasn't. The fish will be returned to Canadian officials and will not be considered for record placement as it was caught illegally. What would you do? You'd do the same thing? You'd break the law. Okay. Well, that's a tough one. I mean, you're 100 feet from me. But then in the back of your mind, they already checked me. Well, it's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in the tidal rivers and Chesapeake Bay and freshwater and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center or check the fishing rule book. Or you can visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, if you're feeling lucky, then you need to get new fishing line on your reel so you don't break off a potential world record fishing through the ice or otherwise. And you can do that by going to Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne and fill your reel with fresh line during their 10-day sale. Just take in your empty spool and they will fill your reels for fishing line with fishing line premium monofilament for half price. That's right. Starts at 1 cent per yard. Take your empty spools and have them professionally spool that line the way it should be on your reel. And they do a great job. Don't forget Penn Reel Specials, GTI 330s. A wonderful trolling reel. And you can check that out at Clyde Sports Shop for just $89.95. I don't think they're making the GTI 330s anymore. You can check out the Sargus spinning reels. Really nice spinning reels from Penn for $49.95. Trolling combos from $79.95, and that's a combo. That's a rod with a roller tip and a reel filled with line for just $79.95 and up, of course. Shakespeare, Pfluger, Ugly Stick, St. Croix, all available at Clyde Sports Shop. They'll fix your rod. They'll fix your reel if you have problems. Licenses, live bait, minnows, everything you need for fishing. Perch season coming, trout season coming. They've got it all. Rockfish, they've got all the big baits for trolling. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9. Clyde Sports Shop, the phone number is 242-6108. That's 242-6108. The website is clydesports.com, two S's in the middle. And don't forget that 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH, 247-3474, 410-247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. More of us are buying organic foods, but not all of the time. Organic food companies want to turn more of us into devoted buyers, and they're trying to appeal to shoppers of all ages. The Organic Trade Association says many families start buying organic foods when children arrive. About 21% of baby food sold is organic versus less than 5% of food overall. Having health problems or knowing someone who does is another common trigger. Organic milk sales spike when families have toddlers, but tend to taper off when kids are around 7 years old. Data from the National Marketing Institute show consuming organic yogurt, cereal bars, meat, and poultry also becomes less common in families with older children. Brands known for organic baby and toddler food are pushing products that appeal to older kids and adults. Annie's, known for its organic bunny-shaped cheese crackers, knows bunnies may not be cool for older kids. It's working on aging up its brand to target older kids and their families. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
I'm on a first name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction.
I got buds, baits, and Zara spoons, pumpkin seeds, and flutes, booyah, crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me, and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, we're back. 410 WCBM 680. I feel like, what was that guy's name? That Bobby Darin? Lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely. I think we have to add that to the mix. I think we have to get that song and put it in there. You have Mr. Lonely? Yeah. I get that way when, you know, the folks that are listening. Look, I understand. It's hard for me to come up with stuff to talk about, you know. Huh? I'm the host, I know. But, I mean, you know, I'm not complaining. I will talk about the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet tomorrow, which is, let's see, where is it? It's at the Ten Oaks Ballroom, and that's in Clarksville. Starts at noon tomorrow. You can walk in, and you are more than welcome to do that. And they will accept your donation. You can become a life member if you like. You can become a sponsor if you like. But you can go and have good food, steamed shrimp and ribs, and oh man, it's good catered stuff. If you're looking for something to do tomorrow, starts, you know, just show up. Tell me you heard about it on the Outdoors and Radio Show. I'll be there to host the event. We've got some fun stuff planned, and it's of course a fundraiser. There's a live auction. There's a silent auction. There are some games that you can play, and you know, it's a good time. I've been hosting that event. Well, not hosting it. I've been emceeing it for a number of years and gotten to know the folks, and we do some fun stuff. So, you know, come out and get something good to eat. Bring your wife and your family and enjoy your day out there. So, all right, let's see. I was looking for something. Boy, this computer's slow. There's Mike in Pittsburgh. Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, Alan?
Good. You in your truck today?
No, I'm at home.
Are you?
Yeah.
Will you listen online?
No, I listen on the radio.
Oh, do you? You can pick up.
What's up?
You can pick up WCBM out there.
Yeah, real good.
In Pittsburgh.
No, I'm in Eldersburg.
Oh, you're in Eldersburg. Okay, all right. I thought you were in Pittsburgh. Well, you're the truck driver, right?
No. Hey, I used to be.
You used to be. Okay.
I had that accident. Remember, I'm the guy.
Yeah. I remember. Okay. I got you.
We're having a terrible problem with coyotes up here now.
I know.
Really bad.
Yep.
The snow, when we had that deep snow, they were taking down the deer all over the place. And then they were barking at night and howling, you know what I mean, until they ate them up. And then you would hear them, like, on the other side of my property, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were taking them down like crazy. They couldn't run in that snow.
Yeah, and the coyotes could run on top of it. Now, you've actually found carcasses?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you take any pictures?
No. I could still do that, probably.
I would like to see some pictures of deer killed by coyotes.
Oh, okay. I could go down there and do it, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Yep.
Yeah. It was 3 days. They stayed on the carcass for 3 days, and it sounded like probably about four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were howling and barking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
It up, you know.
Yeah, I do. Well, I have a picture that somebody sent me of a doe that was taken back in the fall that was shot on a management hunt, and there were several shot. And they recovered, this one in particular had run off, and it was close to dark, and they had recovered, I think, four out of the five deer that they shot, and they said, "We'll just come back in the morning." And when they got back in the morning, there was nothing left of the carcass. I mean, the meat had been stripped to the bone. I also just got an email from one of the hunt coordinators in one of the counties, and it was a video of a pure black coyote on one of the county parks.
Really?
Uh-huh, pure black. And it was video that, you know, it was several minutes long, and this thing came in and just was, on top of the snow, and he was just kind of walking along, and, I guess eventually he picked up the scent of the guy that was videotaping him, and he kind of sauntered off. But, pure black coyote, beautiful, beautiful. But
yeah, I've been up here for 25 years now.
Yeah.
Ever did I hear one.
And coyotes in Carroll County. Well, our traffic director here at the radio station lives in northern Baltimore County. She often hears them up there off Manor Road in northern Baltimore County. And we've had pictures of coyotes from that area and from Harford County both of coyotes that were taking over 50 pounds. A friend of mine shot one in Howard County several years ago during bow season of one that had some black in it, and it was well over 50 pounds as well. So they're a big animal.
Yeah, really.
You know, they're a big predator, no question about it. So, well, Mike, I would appreciate a pic.
I'll take it. Can I tell you one more thing?
Sure.
My friend, he's supposed to get me a picture. He said some guy, I think it was at Fort Meade, or that south track that they go on,
mm-hmm.
agriculture, somebody shot a two-headed deer.
Oh, I've heard about this two-headed deer.
Have you heard it?
Yeah, I've heard it was in New Jersey, and I cannot track it down. I've seen pictures of a two-headed deer on a truck. I can't believe that the deer survived to that age, but it's very possible.
On a truck, and the two heads were working.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get that picture, but let's try to pin down where it was, because I've seen that picture. And it's online. If you go Google two-headed deer in New Jersey, you'll see pictures of a deer laying on the back of a truck. And
okay.
it's very grotesque-looking thing, and it's unique. But nobody can seem to track down exactly where this deer was killed. So
okay.
And hey, look, it's on the Internet, so it must be true, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I think I know what happened here. It's Finksburg, and I think our producer heard you as Pittsburgh for some reason.
Yeah, I'm in Finksburg.
Right. All right, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, I'll see
you. Thanks for the call. Yeah, call me. You have my number. You have my personal number.
Yeah, I got it.
Call me and take that picture. I'd like to get that from you.
Okay, I probably won't be able to get it till I got busy today and Sunday, probably Monday.
Nah, that's fine. Whatever. I want to see what the carcass looks like after the coyotes worked on it.
Okay, I'll go down there.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Okay.
See ya. Bye-bye. There he goes. Coyotes, coyotes, coyotes. More coyotes. Oh, thank you. I got a nice email from an off-duty NRP officer that doesn't sleep well. He said, thank you for your support. Well, look, we support the NRP in most cases. We had, if you didn't listen to last week's show, we had a caller named Danny, retired NRP officer from the Eastern Shore, call in. We were talking about Senator, what's his name, guy from Southern Maryland. We were talking about his bill that he introduced to merge the state, Natural Resources Police with Natural Resources Police with the state police. And whether the bill has any legs or not, I don't know. Maybe he just put it in to draw attention to the fact that NRP needs funding. I don't know. But, that wrong way to do it. But anyway, that's my opinion. All right. So. All right, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, ellisoutdoors.com, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. ellisoutdoors.com is the website where you can listen to the podcast, the radio show. Usually go up during the upcoming week. And I was saying that Officer Danny called in. If you missed the show, you can go on the website. I was reading an email there, got distracted. You can go on the website, ellisoutdoors.com. You can click on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. There's a page on there that tells a little about me and some pictures and some other stuff. But click on the podcast, and that'll be up online about Wednesday. Last week's show is already up, but this week's show, for whatever it is. We'll be up there. We really need somebody to rescue this show this week, don't we, Nick? You're falling asleep over there. I know. Did you get Bobby Darin up? Did you find that? You didn't find that yet? Anyway. All right. Well, you got it. Okay. Maybe we'll play that in a minute. But where was I? I'm distracted. Oh, yeah, you can listen to the podcast and enjoy any of the past shows with our guests and so forth. All the guests have been labeled for the most part. But and also on the website, I talked about this on the last hour, the DNR actually did put the proposed regulations up online for the upcoming season, including the hunting license privilege suspension, the mourning doves, the winter turkey season, shift in the fall turkey season, several things on black bears, a number of things for trappers. Deer management, the regulation was pretty interesting, is to implement an antler point restriction, specifying that no more than two antler deer harvested per license year may have less than 3 points, 1 inch or longer on each antler present. This would be may have less than 3 points. So in other words, if you got one deer with a bow, one deer with a muzzleloader, and one deer with a firearm, one of those three has to have 3 points on one side or more. It's an antler point restriction on one out of the three deer that you can legally take in Maryland. And the goal is to cut down on that yearling buck harvest, those young antler deer that don't have a chance to grow up. You know, a lot of the deer hunters that I know are already self-practicing that, and, you know, they won't shoot anything less than an 8-point, 15 inches or something like that on their club, and they try to manage it the best they can. The message is getting out, but, you know, that is the one true way to help the herd. It'll put a little pressure on the antlerless deer, which also won't hurt anything and will help the bring the population where it needs to be. And they're going to reduce the bag limit on antlerless deer in Region A, increase the bag limit on sika deer to 3 per weapon with no more than one antlered, and then increase the sika deer antlerless bag limit to allow 2 antlerless deer, or 3 if they change the limit, to be harvested during any portion of the early or late muzzleloader season. Let's talk to Lou Ann in Kent County. Good morning, Lou Ann. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you for your indulgence, by the way.
I was just calling to see, we live on the eastern shore of Maryland.
Sure.
And I was curious to know if there are any bobcat on the eastern shore.
Not that I am aware of. We do have bobcats in western Maryland.
Okay.
We do have, I mean, it would take a real trick for a bobcat to get to the eastern shore. You know, short of swimming the bay. But I know of no reported bobcats on Maryland's eastern shore. Coyotes, yes, no question.
Okay.
Bobcats, it's, you know, it's always possible. Did you see one?
No, I haven't. But I've heard different tales.
Oh, okay.
I was just curious because...
Let me guess. Somebody said that they heard them screaming at night.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I'd like you to do is go online and listen to the call of a screech owl.
Okay.
All right. And tell me if you think that sounds eerily like something that could be misconstrued as a cat.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting. Okay, I will.
All right.
Bobcats
on the eastern shore, I don't think.
Okay.
Okay. But I could be totally wrong. I'm pretty sure there's never been a report of a bobcat on the eastern shore. But I'll tell you what. I'll check with my friends from the Maryland Fur Trappers organization and find out if anybody there knows of a bobcat on the eastern shore.
Okay.
Those are the guys that would know.
Excellent.
Okay?
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lou Ann.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There she goes. All right. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, is having their 10-day sale. All rods and reels are on sale. Line is available at half price. premium monofilament. Just take your empty spools and they will fill it, starting at just 1 cent per yard. They've got pen reels on sale. They've got ugly sticks on sale. They've got all types of great fishing bargains, and it's time for you to check that out. Just here on the cusp of the fishing season, ready to go, getting ready for perch, getting ready to bust loose here. Head to Clyde Sports Shop this weekend. It's a 10-day sale. It goes through Sunday, the 9th of March, which is next Sunday. You can take your spools in and get them filled up with great line and get ready to go and see all the new stuff that Clyde's has to offer. And maybe pick up a new rod and reel combo. Trolling combo starting at $79.95. That's a rod with a roller tip. It's a reel with line on it, ready to go. Just $79.95. That's where they start. Pen 330 GTIs, Sargus spinning reels, you name it, they've got it. Clyde Sports Shop. All right, the 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. ClydeSports.com. And the fishing hotline, 247-347-4247-FISH.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire.
All right, let's talk to Arnold in Abington. Good morning, Arnold. Thanks for calling. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
We're going to try something different this morning. After spending most of duck and goose season in our blinds and pits watching crows,
don't you just want to whack them when they fly by?
Well, that's what we're going to do this morning.
I think that's a great idea. Yes, so, sir.
Like I said, we spent a lot of time watching. And then seagulls, and then there were the homing pigeons, and
Oh, yeah.
A lot of birds, not a lot of
Yeah, that's right.
That.
Exactly. And I know that feeling. And, of course, and the conversation goes like this. Are doves in season? Yeah. Man, that look at that fat one over there. Man, they're all over the place. Are you sure they're in season? Yeah. But all I got's number twos.
Yeah. Well,
you ever had that conversation?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
That's exactly where we are.
Yeah,
Knowing our luck, you know, we don't see a lot of snow geese in Harford County, but we'll probably have a flock land on top of
it. Of course you will. Yeah, of course. Well, those other white birds that you referred to earlier, we call those short-necked snow geese.
Yeah, well, we had that discussion, too.
Oh, you had had that discussion.
Flying over in the fog in a V formation. It's like, are you sure there's eagles?
So, boy, their necks look awful long. Their necks look awful long to be snow geese, don't they?
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine bought a electronic caller and a couple flock decoys. So we're gonna go bring some propane heaters and a couple jugs of coffee, and you can shoot some crows this morning.
That's awesome. Well, let me know how you make out. Send me some pictures, and I'll tell you what, Arnold, if you'd like to write a little story about it, I'd love to have a story about crow hunting in the late season for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. What do you think of that?
I think I could do that.
I think you could. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com, pictures and a brief description of, you could write a whole story if you want. You could start with, we were in the duck blind. You know, one of those deals. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to have
that. Let's hope we can shoot better if we see some crows than we were with ducks this year.
Oh, man.
I'm a retired military guy, and spent most of my life with a rifle in my hand, and this shotgun is a foreign foreign piece of equipment.
Well, hey, if you look,
I got some cheap skeet and trap time in front of me this year.
If you look in the Guide to Hunting and Trapping and see the ad in there for the National Guard, you'll see that they're in their layout blinds, and one of the guys has his AR pointed skyward.
Yeah, well, I probably know him.
Okay.
I spent almost 30 years in that organization.
I got you.
All right. Had a lot of good friends, but I need to learn to shoot a shotgun. You know, I shot at a lot of geese this year. I didn't hit any geese this year, so.
They didn't teach you butt beak bang?
No.
They didn't teach you butt beak bang?
Well, we
you get behind them, you get on their butt, you swing through to their beak, and you pull the trigger. Butt, beak, bang.
Now I know.
Very simple. You can remember. Anybody can hopefully remember butt, beak, bang.
Yeah. Well, and then there was the, the safety's not in the right place. Get the safety off. Too late for this one.
Well, that down by the trigger thing got you messed up, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, it's got me looking at a Mossberg because the safety's up right.
I'll pour up on the top. I got you. All right, man.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Arnold. Take care. See ya. Bye bye. There he goes, Joe in Baltimore. What's up, Joe?
Yeah. I wanted to say I've been to Clyde's and they were really nice to me. And the second thing I wanted to say is you need a contest. It's so cold that, and my favorite would be, it's so cold that when I catch a fish, it's flash frozen.
I like that. How about this one? It's so cold that the other day I was driving down the road, I saw two beagles trying to start a rabbit with a jumper cables.
That's great.
Let me do that again. It's so cold I saw two beagles the other day with jumper cables trying to start a rabbit.
There we go. That's the perfect one.
How about this one? It's so cold that the statue in front of the courthouse laid his rifle down and put his hands in his pockets.
You got a winner there, I think.
All right. I hate winning my own contest, though.
Well, you know, other people could call in, but I should have called you earlier.
Yes, you should have. See, we would have had a great contest. Now, next week we'll have, it's raining so much that... So, all right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Do we have time for one more caller if they hurry? Maybe. We don't have any more breaks, right? We're done. I talked about the Maryland Fishing Challenge, the Angler Awards. I talked about that. I talked about Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Banquet tomorrow at the Ten Oaks Ballroom. Just show up and with money, and they'll make sure you get a good meal. I know what I wanted to tell the folks about. We talked about the QDMA banquet next Saturday at Pool Road in Westminster, MarylandQDMA.com or .org. Friends of Maryland Becoming an Outdoors Woman. You remember we had Letha Grimes on a few weeks ago talking about the outdoors, Becoming an Outdoors Woman. Their banquet is on March 14th. It's Friday night, March 14th, 6 to 9 at Dutch's Daughter Restaurant in Frederick, Maryland. It's $35 per person, $65 per couple. And I can send you this this form with the information, this flyer, if you like. It's starts at 6, the cash bar, 7 o'clock is dinner, hors d'oeuvres and silent auction going on first hour, and then this 8 o'clock hour live auction and the raffle drawings. So Dutch's Daughter, I've eaten there. It's a great place to eat. And if you'd like to find out more about becoming an outdoors woman, there you go. Show support for becoming an outdoors woman. All right, let's see. What is that? Oh, there's some. Oh, look at that. There's some geese. How about that? All right. Hey, we are looking for crab pictures, by the way. If you have any crab pictures of eating crabs, catching crabs, unusual crabs, we're going to start working on the Maryland Loves Crabs annual here real shortly. You can check that out on Maryland Loves Crabs. That's mdlovescrabs.com. And you can read the 2013 issue all the way through if you like in flipbook fashion. You can inquire about anything you'd like to inquire about. We're going to start working on calling on folks to advertise in that publication here shortly. And also, all of the things that we do here at Ellis Outdoors, the Outdoorsman Radio Show, the Outdoorsman Radio Show, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, and Ellis Outdoors LLC all have Facebook pages. So you can check those out, too, and like us on Facebook. If you would, we'd appreciate that. Comment on anything you want to hear. Usually on the radio show, we just kind of put up, you know, who the guests are going to be or that type of thing. And don't forget our podcast on ellisoutdoors.com or wcbm.com. WCBM doesn't keep them quite as long as I do on ellisoutdoors.com. And you can learn a lot by going to the websites. So, and in particular, you can link right to the comments section for the proposed regulations. Public meeting coming up next Tuesday night at Chesapeake College at 7 o'clock. And that'll pretty much do it. I think we're done. There's the music. Andy, sorry, just ran out of time, buddy. There we go. We got a lot of, well, there's a couple of photos from folks with their geese. There's Josh from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Yep. All right. We're going to have fun on Sunday in Clarksville, Ten Oaks Ballroom. I'll be there to urge people to support the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation effort for conservation, and we'll go from there. See you, folks. You have a great weekend. Time for me to say get out, stay out, stay safe.